I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I can. If you want me to. If you want my opinion. I know I'm not supposed to be political, but that's where we live. You know? If you can't talk about Jesus and you can't talk about just daily life stuff, you don't have anything to talk about. So if you're a guest today, good to have you with us. Again, I think he thanked y'all already. Did he have y'all stand up, the ones who work with these boxes? Stand them up, everybody. If you had anything to do with this, not only yesterday, but if you helped us all through the year, or you gave money, we appreciate it. We don't know how many there are, right? But there's over 600. We know that, right? Where'd Linda go? Is that right? Okay. So we know we had 600 shoes at $20 a piece. That's 12,000. So thank you, all of you that gave for that. God will bless that. And the whole purpose of this is to be able to share the gospel. So just keep praying about that. When we load these up, we might have to call on some help to do that. That's a little bit in the future. Our church has been, you know, given through the systems and some personal stuff for these things. So just keep praying for them. It's not over for some of those people in Tennessee and North Carolina and Georgia. You know, be a big rebuild. And just when you start griping, pray for them, all right? When you feel like you got a bad deal, think about them and be ashamed and pray for them. Because we don't know what it is unless you've been through that before. Maybe some of you have. But some of them lost everything and family members. So just keep praying for them because that's going to be a long process. And that God would use us to be a witness and to help. Okay? Let's pray then. Lord, we are grateful that we're free, that we can meet here today, that we have a place. Lord, that you've given us something to eat. Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word as we try to look at it and analyze where we are. Help us to be honest, be obedient. Father, thank you for loving us first. And we ask that your patience will continue to be with us as we learn how to be obedient so that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. If you're new, this is our small campaign and not money campaign. Usually when you hear that, people say, oh, that's our money. No, we don't do that. We've never done that. It is just once a year when we all study the same thing in our small groups, and I speak on it. This time it's more than me. We decided because of the questions that you gave us, we chose some things from that, and that's where our topics came from. We're trying to pull some of them together and lump them together. And Dallas will be sharing next week. Frenchie's already shared, and we have a few to go. But today it's on knowing the will of God. How can we know the will of God? Can we know the will of God? So that's what we're looking at, because all of us as believers have to deal with that, and we have to be able to submit our will to His once we know His will. And that's the question. You know, if you say, I want to know God's will, the first question is, are you going to do it? If you're not going to do it, why do you want to know it? You know, but a lot of people are that way. We want to search for those secret things of God, like in the book of Revelation. People get all caught up in the book of Revelation, but they don't even think about treating their spouse right. You know, we already know 10 good solid things what God's will is. Don't be lying. Don't be stealing. Don't be doing those 10 commandments. We already know those. Absolutely, they're God's will, right? Sometimes we don't even think about doing those, but yet we want to know something else. Why do you think God's going to show us something else when we won't even work on doing the things we already know? You know, that's amazing, isn't it? We want to keep learning and learning, and we don't even act on what we already know. So it's a touchy thing, but that's what we're looking at. A mother had two kids. Kevin was 6, and Ryan was 3, and she was cooking them pancakes, and they were arguing over who was supposed to get the first one. Kids don't really do that, though, right? Hello? No. She saw it as a moment to teach a moral lesson. So she was sitting there. She said, if Jesus were sitting here with us, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So she sat there for just a minute, and Kevin, the older one, turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, you be Jesus." It's hard to submit our will, and that's the whole thing. But that's something we already know we're not going to get finished today, but there was a lot of notes, and we printed some more. We realized they were gone this morning already, so Frenchie got the rest of them, and there's some more back there on the table if you want to take one with you. Even if you're not in a small group, we hope you'd be in a small group, but you can. There's a lot more in there than I'm going to get to say, just because I don't have enough time, as usual. But that's what we're talking about. Knowing the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? And I'm talking about, you know, you don't even have to say, God, is it okay if I do this? If it's stealing, you already know it's not. You don't have to pray about, God, is this your will that I tell the truth? No, it's a given. You know, so we already know those. So we're going beyond those. You don't have to ask that. If you're a believer and you know anything about the Bible, those are givens. We know those. So we're going beyond those things, okay? When we're talking about how exactly, what God exactly wants to do in my life. To search for the will of God can be an exercise of piety or impiety. It can be an act of submission or arrogance. It just depends on, you know, what are you wanting to do? I want to know the will of God for my life. How's that going to work? God wants to hear us, his people, if we're his people. He would love to hear us pray and ask, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Is there something outside of these things I already know in the Ten Commandments that you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? Do we really want to know that? Okay, first off is, am I going to do it? If I'm not going to do it, why would God spend the time to try to show me? Right? And that's one of the things. We get so caught up in that. We want to know all these secret things of God, and some of them we don't need to know. JB and I were talking about a few minutes ago. If we knew so many things ahead of time, we'd just mess it up. Right? Instead of working on the things we already know, we get consumed with knowing something that we might not need to know. You know, because, again, we wouldn't mess it up. How is that? The Christian pursues God looking for his marching order, seeking to know exactly the course of action that God has for us that would be pleasing to him. That's what the scripture said. The question is this. When I determine God's will for me, and here's the issue. Not only do we need God's word to help us, we need other believers who are older, much wiser, that we can bounce things off of to make sure that we're not skewing it in our decision making. Because we'll come up with anything and say, oh yeah, that's God's will. It happens all the time. Leadership, it happens a lot. Christian leadership, all kind of things like that happen. Whenever during the Great Awakening, what was his name? George Whitefield. He was coming back and forth from London all the time, and he was a key leader in the Great Awakening here in America. And in one of the trips, he had a new son, and in the transit from London to here, while he's on the ship, he got word that his son was sick. So he started praying that God would heal the child and he would be okay. And he had a confirmation, oh yeah, God's going to heal him. But the son died. So he went in a deep depression over it. And really, they say not from the reason that God didn't heal him, but he misread what God's will was. That's pretty easy to do. We're going to see in just a moment in Jeremiah, man, that's exactly what happened. In chapter 42, when, you know, Jeremiah has a word from God. He's been having a word from God. And the word that he has from God was not a positive word, unfortunately. And what the people tried to do was they tried to get Jeremiah to stamp his God approval on their plan. You know, whenever Madison was sick and dying with leukemia, we had quite a few people. And I know they had the best interest in mind. They came and said to us personally, we got a word from God. God's going to heal her. She died. Be careful. When you say, oh, I know this is God's will, be careful. Be real careful with that one now, because a lot of that stuff happens. Somebody gets in trouble when that happens. Somebody gets hurt when that happens. Be careful with that. There are many things that we know that are God's will. Again, you don't have to, well, should I cheat on my income tax? No. You don't have to pray about that. You don't need to counsel anybody. I know they're going to throw it away. I know they're going to waste it. But is it wrong for you to cheat on it? Yeah, it is. That's stealing. So you see, there's givens. We know those, right? We know those. Whenever, you remember, Jeremiah, bless his heart, God told him, he said, I'm sending you as my messenger. Your message is not positive. They're going to hate you, and they're not going to receive it. But you go anyway. How would you like that? How would you like for God to say, it's my will for you to go tell my people this is what I want them to do, and they're going to hate you, and they're going not listen to you, but you go anyway. How about that one? You would say, most of us say, I don't think God wants me to do that. You know, my heavens, I might lose my job. Isn't that right? Bless his heart. I remember, and he was a dear friend. He's dead now. I remember when he was, you know, our little country church, he was there around us, and we knew all the guys around us, and he was contemplating going to another church, being a pastor. And I was pretty good friends with him. And later he said, you know, I just asked God, it's a sign. If they give me $25 more a week, that's a sign that I'm supposed to go. Money? Money is a sign? It was for him. Are you questioning whether that was God's sign? I don't think God works that way. You know, I'm not saying God didn't want him to go, but be careful when you throw those things out there. Jeremiah, that's exactly what you say. Well, he surely had credibility among the people because they saw so many things that he said was going to happen was happening. He said, judgment's coming. They didn't believe it. Well, judgment started coming. And then he asked them, this is exactly what it was. Go back and read chapter 42 sometime. What they wanted is what we are all guilty if we're not careful. We want approval for the plan that we have. Oh, God, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. I just want a preacher or somebody with a PhD or somebody who writes books. I just go find one of them, and they'll stamp it, and I know it's okay. That's exactly what they wanted. That's what they wanted. They didn't want God's best. They didn't want God's will. They just wanted Jeremiah, because he was God's spokesman, to stamp their little idea and say, oh, yeah, this is good. Well, Jeremiah prayed, and 10 days later, he got an answer, and it was not what they wanted. God said, you stay here in Judah, and I'll protect you. You go down to Egypt and run for your life, and it's going to cost you. What did they do? They ran for their life. Why? That's what we do. Well, God, I know this is God's will, and I just want somebody to stamp it. That's why people are church hoppers. If we don't agree with homosexuality or some kind of crazy gender nonsense, and we speak out against and say, you know, that's not God's ideal, then they'll go find somewhere where somebody supposedly who knows something about God or God's word, and they'll stamp it with that approval, and they say, see, happens all the time. That's what we do. We find somebody to validate what we want to do, whether it's right or wrong. So you better be careful. We have to be careful as churches, as individuals. When you try to come up with this plan, and you just want God to stamp it, and then when it doesn't work out, well, why did God let this happen? Well, you're so far away from God's will to start with. What does it say? Remember in Romans? This is in your notes here somewhere. You know, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, I encourage you, therefore, what? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Do not be conformed by the world. Google, CNN doesn't tell you what to do. And no one on Facebook tells you what to do. That's what that means. Do not be conformed to the world's standard, but be ye transformed by God's word, that you may be able to prove the perfect and what? Acceptable will God has for you. You know? How do you know that's God's will? You need to be studying a little bit. You know what the Bible says about it? What does the Bible say about that? You come up with this idea and you look at it and say, no, that ain't even close to what the Bible says. you back up there a little bit. Well, that's what Otis over there said. That's what Joel said. My goodness, Andy said we didn't even need to go to church, right? Hello? Oh, we don't need church. Remember that little confrontation? Andy Stanley is who I'm talking about, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, just shut it down. That's not even biblical. We don't have to go to church. What planet is he on? You know, if the church is not important, why did Jesus buy it with his blood? Right? Anyway, don't let me get off on tangent. He seeks God, and God said, oh, no, if you go down there, you're done. Did they listen? No, they have a plan. Don't we have a plan? Oh, I know better than God knows. When he says, you don't need to be dating that pagan, oh, but I'm going to change him. I'm going to change her. No, you're not. You're going to get drawn away. That's what he says. You need to pay attention. That's exactly what it was. They wanted his approval. You stamp it, Jeremiah. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. They would always get a prophet who was about lily-livered and didn't really want to go through the pressure. So he would give in and say, yeah, this is what God wants us to do. And then a real prophet would come up and said, oh, no, that's not right. And that's what we have. That's what we have in churches. Somebody's going to tell you the truth. Somebody's going to tell you what you want to hear. Because, my heavens, if we tell you who to vote for, well, that's none of your business. Yes, it is, because it's going to affect my life, and it's going to affect my children's life and my grandchildren's life. Do you know that, right? This mess we're about to be in is not just going to affect you and me. Some of us will be out of it pretty quick. You know, we on the last turnaround, right? This thing's about to land. What do they call that? That last approach. Yes, some of us are in the, we're already out of gas. Some of us. But you see how important that is? It's not just you. And it's not just me. It's the generations after us going to pay the price for this nonsense. Anyway, let me get off of that. That's as political as I'm going to be. But I can be more. Because I'm not afraid. And that's what he told him. He said, nope, that's not what we're going to do. Most movements spring from this kind of idea. I'll give you an example. Few churches or leaders. You know, it was kind of, I've been going through all this stuff, looking in the Old Testament because of all that's going on in our country. You know what it says in several places in Proverbs? When the leaders listen to liars, the whole shebang suffers. How many times did Israel have a bad leader? And people will come up and say, well, that's God's will. No. No. God never makes evil happen. People lie. Here's the baseline. You and I are going to do exactly what we want to do. You will try to justify it, and I'll try to justify it. That's why we come back to the thing in just a moment. Is God sovereign? You better know it. Are you responsible? Absolutely. We're already out of time. Few churches do this. Here's how we handle it, all right? We say, oh, God is for evangelism. He wants everybody to hear the gospel. And then we come up with some kind of plan that we think is okay to be evangelistic, even though it might not be biblical, and we all stamp it and say, oh, yeah, we're doing what God wants us to do. When nobody's kind of evaluating and saying, how does this sift down through the Bible? Is it really okay if we do it this way, or is this manipulation, or is this, how's this going? And we try to justify it. That's how we do it. And we invoke his sanction to say, oh, yeah, we're doing evangelism. You know, we're giving out stuff. We never talk to him about Jesus, but we're giving out stuff, so that's evangelism. No, it's not. That's not it. That's not what that is. We say God's love, therefore, oh, my goodness, we can't tell someone they're sinners. Ain't that right? We surely can't discipline someone in the church. You know, we surely can't go to them and say, hey, wait a minute. I see you already lost about four lugs, and the last one's loose. You don't need to do something. No, we can't do that. Well, because God is love. And because God is love, surely he doesn't want us to discipline anybody. My goodness, who are we to say that someone else is a sinner? Today, I might be able to say it to you. Tomorrow, you might have to say it to me. It can happen to all of us. Nobody is exempt. Which, in this case, we'll only do it when it gets really, really bad. But it never gets really bad enough to do it. Even though you have deacons running around on their spouses and everybody in town knows it. I'm not saying this church is that way, but I've been in a church where that's the way it was. Somebody goes to him and the deacon gets mad and quits. Well, he should quit. And that's what they told him. He said, I don't want to fix it. 10 years later, he came back and repented and got back with his wife, and God used him till he died. Yes. But that's what we invoke God's will to sanction our determined niceness. And so everybody thinks everything's all right. Because who do you are to tell somebody they're wrong? Well, I'm not, but the Bible is. All I'm saying is the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. And I'm not supposed to do that. But you see how we do it? Well, we cover it up some kind of way. Ask Joel Osteen how they do it. That's how they do it. God is love. He is love, but he's also just. And he's also going to hold us all accountable. You know, he is. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he goes on to say, this is it. It's the grace of God working in me. You know, here's the only way we can really attempt to do God's will. And that is, if you and I are believers in Christ and his will is working in us. That's what it says in Philippians. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means, right? You can't work your salvation. You can't make yourself saved. What is he talking about? He's talking about in the context where people are fussing and fighting. Remember those two? Euodia and Syntyche, man, they're not getting along too well. He says, you need to figure this thing out. Because God's will is in you and he wants everything you do to be pleasing in his sight, you need to figure out how to work this thing out and make it do right. You know, some of our hyper-Calvinist friends try to mean, oh, well, you know, we don't do evangelism. God's just going to save us, and that's what that means. That's not on the same planet. It's what that means. Not even close. In that statement, the apostle makes it clear that God's grace in us is working in us to try to get us to do his will. If it wasn't for that, you would never do it. You would never seek it. You would always be wanting to do what who wants to do? Moi. Me. I want to do what I want to do. Look at what David does here in Psalms. Show me the way that I should go. Now, unfortunately, he didn't have as much that we have to go on. We have a whole Bible that he was living out, part of the Old Testament. He had some of it, but he didn't have as much as we have. But he says, show me the way that I could go. Left on your own, you and I will justify anything we want to do. Well, God just wants me to be happy, so if I have to throw away my family just to be happy, that's what he wants. That's straight out of hell. People try to justify it all the time. That is not what the scripture says. No. It says what? If you're living with an unbeliever and they'll live with you, don't divorce them. You know what it says? Oh, that's because God wants me to be happy. No. Show me the way that I should go. What does that mean? He knows he was confused and he needed some guidance on exactly what to do. You remember his peril that he was in? Boy, he was going through a whole lot of stuff. God, help me do the right thing. I need some guidance. Teach me to do your will. How many times did Jesus say that? Father, your will, not mine. Even when he's going to the cross. Is there any way that your will can be done without me going to the cross? Then be it. I'll go to the cross. That's what that means. Your will. It's going to cost you, though. No, it's going to always cost you. Knowing and doing God's will is the very stuff of guidance. He said, guide me. I want to know. I want to do it. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Whoa, that means it's not skewed by liberalism or over-conservatism. You can go either way in that thing and get messed up. And trip as well as a rebel, stum as well as stray, and always, we're there. We always need somebody. When you say, I don't need any help, I got it all figured out, you're done. You're done. And it's a lot of times before we have many years of experience, we are so much smarter than our parents, aren't we? Aren't you? Yeah, when we're 16, what are we? Brilliant. We get to 40, we realize, I'm kind of dumb. And I don't really know as much as I thought I know. That's exactly what that means. We're going to always need it. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Now the God of peace who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus. Boy, there's a lot in Hebrews, you know. Make you perfect in every good thing to do his will. Period. Not Google's will, not Facebook's will, not somebody in your family is so far away from Jesus they don't even know who he is. His will. His will. Working in us. He's working in us that we would be well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. He's working in our will so we will do what he wants us to do. That's what that is. He has to do something. Left to ourselves, we never do but what we want to do. The thrust of the prayer is twofold. First, God would equip us, the Christians, with everything that we need to do his will. He does. We can. That's exactly what he's saying. And second, that he would work in us to do the things that are pleasing to him. You know, how many things do you start to do and you realize, this is really not what I should be doing, and you go ahead and do it anyway. So you've just put your will over God's will. That's all that means. You're not submitting to God's will. You're submitting to your will. And that's where the fight is. My will. I have to submit my will. Boy, that's tough. You remember what Susanna Wesley said about all them kids she was raising, right? Bless her heart, the Duggarts don't have anything on her, or whatever the name was. What was her name? Duggarts or Duggarts or all them 20-something kids used to be making money off of that deal. Y'all do know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. What did she say? You got to break the child's will first, and then you can teach him. Ah. Has God broken your will? If he hasn't, then you're not going to do what he wants. What is it going to take to break your will? You might not want to know what it's going to take to break your will. The emphasis on doing God's will. Not what I want. But it always comes to what I want, because this I know is what God wants me to do, because it's going to make me happy. That's the word, isn't it? I want to be fulfilled. Is that some of them counseling words? I don't know. No offense to your counselors, by the way. Unless you're a pagan counselor, then it should be offending. The entire focus is on God and what God wants. What do you know? Do you know anything about that? That was how you'd start. We have guidelines in the Scripture for a bit of that. None of that's by chance. He tells us enough to do anything that we need to do right. The problem is, will we do it? The most important prayer for Christians is, God, I want to do your will. Help me see it. Remember what it says in John, right? Where Jesus said, if anyone would want to know God's will, if you'll be obedient, I'll show you God's will. This is the truth of God's word. That's what he says, John chapter 7, verse 17. Look at this one. This riles us up. If I do anything good, it's because what God is doing in me. And that doesn't mean that atheist people never do anything good. Okay, it doesn't mean that. But as a general rule, the general tenor of my life is I'm doing good. That's my intent. On every corner, that's what I'm trying to do. So if that's the case, it is God working in me to will and to do what brings him pleasure. Okay? And the evil that I do is me. God is not the author of evil. Well, he made Adam sin. No, he did not. He doesn't make you sin. Flip Wilson had that wrong. The devil didn't make him do it. Flip Wilson made him do it. When you sin, you sin. Hello? Yes. Anything good, it's because of God. Anything bad, oh, it's me. You know what that does? God is sovereign. I'm morally responsible. We separate these things nowadays. You either go over with some of our reformed brothers who take the sovereignty of God way over there, to meaning basically, not exactly, but it's almost borders on fatalism. You know, hyper-Calvinists go there. They say, well, it's up to God. You know, it's que sera, que sera. Whatever's going to be, what it's going to be. That's what some of our Presbyterian friends, I mean, I know, I was raised around them. That's how they believe. My uncle told me out of his mouth. Well, if it's God's will, I can put a 45 pistol up my brain and pull the trigger and I won't die. I said, if you do that, it's God's will. You're going to die. And that's how they think. Oh, God is sovereign. We don't have a choice. We can't do anything. If whatever happens, it's up to God. No, you're a fool and you made a foolish mistake. And you'll be held responsible for it. That's the way that works. It is never God's will for you to do evil. So don't ever try to say, well, you know, if God didn't want me to smoke, he wouldn't have made marijuana. He made dirt. Do you gargle dirt? No. You choose. You're responsible. We got to close, so we ain't even touched it. Basically, we understand this in several elements. What we would call God's perfect will, it means this. There are certain things that he has decreed. means this is going to happen. Nothing will ever change it. Okay? That's what that means. God's decreed will, it means if he says something like this, nothing will ever change it. Okay? And then we have what we would call, there's better words for it, and I've explained it a little bit more in the writing, a permissive will of God. Meaning, he doesn't want that to happen, he doesn't will that to happen, but he allows people the freedom to do it. Case in point, what did Jesus say? He was talking about divorce. God is not willing, it is not his decreed will that anybody go to hell. That's what it says. And again, some of our Reformed brothers and sisters, extreme, they say, oh yeah, God lined them all up side of the wall before everybody was created. And he said, you go to hell, you go to heaven. So God chose somebody who goes to hell. That's what they say. There's never anything in the Bible where God's decreed will sends anybody to hell. It says he's not willing that any should perish, but it doesn't mean in universalism. And some would try to say, oh, well, that means nobody's going to hell. That means that everybody's going to be saved, even Hitler. That's not what it means. Study the context. Look at the two words, the two main words for will in the New Testament. That's not what it means. He's not willing that anybody should go to hell. He's made all the preparations for you not to go to hell. But in your choice, he permits that if that's what you decide. So does God have a perfect will? So why would God allow that? God, I don't know. He just allows it. That's what it says. His permissive will. You remember in Genesis, right? This is a perfect story from combatalism. There's quite a few of them in the scripture because this is what happens in theological circles. We either go to the extreme on sovereignty of God. Do I believe in sovereignty of God? Absolutely. Does God know everything? Absolutely. Is anything going to change what he decrees? No. I believe that. Is man responsible? Absolutely. He gives you a choice. In Genesis chapter 50, you remember, Joseph, bless his little heart, he was kind of arrogant, and his brothers didn't like him, so they were going to kill him, get rid of him. So they threw him in the well, and Reuben, his brother, said, oh, no, let's at least make some money off of him. So they pulled him up out of the well, and they took him in, and finally they sold him into a trade route going into Egypt. So there he ends up. You know the story, how he goes in. He ends up being the vice president. He's in control of everything. So his family's coming there trying to get grain during the famine. And he sees him but doesn't reveal who he is. He sees his brothers. And after the word is there, his father, you know, he brings them there. His father dies. They think he's going to retaliate because now the father's dead. And Joseph, in chapter 50, verse 20, he says, no, no, no. You meant it for evil. They had a choice. But God turned it into something good. Could God have taken him down there without his brothers doing evil? Absolutely. He could have. He could have sent him down there on a white horse. He didn't. The workings out of natural fallen man, he said, well, I'm going to work with this. I don't know why he did it that way. But he says, clearly, they were responsible. You're going to do, I'm going to do exactly what we want to do. And we're going to be held responsible for it. Be careful when you say, oh, it's God's will for me to walk off and leave my family. Be careful. Because you're going to be held responsible. Is God sovereign? Yes. Are you going to be held accountable? Yes. How does that two work together? I don't know. It just does. Why would God allow our foolishness? Anybody know? We are fools. Aren't we? How many times have we been a fool this week? Hello? When they cut you off in traffic, what'd you say? Did you tell them they're number one? Huh? Yeah. God has a will for us individually. It's perfect. It takes a little figuring out sometime to find it. If you want to know what it is, start doing the things you already know that are his will. And then seeing that part that's a little bit more secret, you might see it easier. That's the way it works. I'm glad God's forgiven, aren't you? I'm glad Jesus died on the cross where he can forgive us. We got a long way to go, though, right? I don't know. We might be on that last circle. But it means until that's over, we have to fight. to still do the right thing so that God's perfect will is done, regardless of what it costs us. And it will always cost to do God's will. Always. Let's pray. Lord, why you tolerate us is beyond our comprehension. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for having a plan to restore us to yourself through the blood of, through your own blood. The only thing that would satisfy is your own sacrifice. Father, thank you that you fulfill that for us, that we could be restored. Help us to seek how that's supposed to be in our life, how we treat our spouses, how we treat our children, how we treat our parents, how we work, how we vote, how everything in our life is affected by it, so that your perfect will is done in our life and that you're glorified through it and that people would want to know you because of that. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Y'all say this far with us here. Come on.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised His life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised His life up from the dead. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank y'all. We have one quick thing real quick before we head out. Real quick. Miss Debbie's got something to say.
Can you hear me okay? I'm determined this will go under 90 seconds, okay? There's three quick things. And the first is, if you were here participating in any way last Sunday for our trunk or treat. We had several hundred people, many from the community. Will you please stand so we can just give you a big thank you round of applause if you participated. Thank you. It was a great night. The second is, it's been mentioned, but please, I know we all, it's our heart to do it, but many have voted early, but please do make sure you vote on Tuesday if you haven't, and please be just praying for our country and everything that's going to occur. Please cover that in prayer. And then the final thing is, I'm going to try to do this without crying real fast, and it's not the heart of this person to want this attention, but for 25 years, our lives have been so blessed. I know I was going to do this. I'm going to try to control it. I just see God's hand, the servant heart. It would be wrong not to give praise to God right now and tell Linda Whitaker, thank you. God bless. You're dismissed. Thank you.
Y'all have a great Sunday. If you'd like to sign up for our life groups, they're up here. They're also on the app. If you'd like to sign up to help volunteer to clean, it's on the back table. Remember, we have Wednesday night kids Wednesday at 6. We have youth starting at 6:30. You'll have a great Sunday.
Jada Moon Girls.
Thanksgiving.